Take your Bibles, turn to the book of Daniel, chapter number 8. Daniel, chapter number 8. Very thankful to be in God's house today with God's people. No better place on earth to be than right here with God's people. So thankful for you making God's house a priority today. And thankful for the opportunity from our pastor to preach today as well. Daniel, chapter number 8. So if you found your place and you're able to, would you stand with me? Daniel chapter number 8, and we're going to read verse number 23 through the end of this chapter as we get into this chapter number 8 today. Verse number 23, the Bible says, "And in the latter time of their kingdom, when the transgressors are come to the full, a king of fierce countenance and understanding dark sentences shall stand up. And his power shall be mighty, but not in his own power. And he shall destroy wonderfully, and shall prosper and practice, and shall destroy the mighty and the holy people. And through his policy also, he shall cause craft to prosper in his hand, and he shall magnify himself in his heart, and by peace shall destroy many. He shall also stand up against the prince," capital P, "of princes, but he shall be broken without hand. And the vision of the evening and the morning, which was told, is true. Wherefore, shut thou, which is true. Wherefore, shut thou up the vision, for it shall be for many days." Verse 27. "And I, Daniel, fainted and was sick certain days. Afterward, I rose up and did the king's business, and I was astonished at the vision, but none understood it." Let's pray one more time. Father, thank you so much for the opportunity to be here to preach your word. God, you know I need you this morning to convey this truth that you have for us. So God, I pray that you bless the reading of your word, the preaching of it. And God, I pray that your people would be a responsive people to how you speak to them today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing. So Daniel chapter number 8, it's a prophetical portion of Scripture, and we've been following along in this series just whenever I get opportunity to preach. And so we're in Daniel chapter number 8, and it's a very intriguing portion of Scripture, but I can't help but think about Daniel. And I want us to imagine for a moment that we are Daniel. And so imagine that you're Daniel. And you've spent the majority of your life in captivity. Since you were a teenager, you have been taken from your country, and you've been placed into another country to serve them. So the year is 550 BC. And you look like you need some explaining on that. So I'll give you a little bit of explanation on 550 BC. Daniel is 70 years old. He's not a teenager anymore. He's been in captivity for over 50 years. So Daniel would have been about 15 years of age when he went into captivity. And I got to thinking about when I was 15 years old. How many of you remember back that far? Raise your hand, okay? Some of you are like, I have no idea what was 15 years ago, or 15 years of age. I have no idea what that was like. Some of you haven't reached that, like Emmy. She's turning 13 today, I believe, so Emmy, sorry to embarrass you so much, but the girls told me to do it, so. I had a lot of dreams, had a lot of visions about what life was going to be like, and that's kind of the age where you start going from childhood where you're just worried about getting the new video game or getting the new thing that you want to play with or hanging out with your friends, and you turn 15 years of age, and all of a sudden you can get your permit to drive. Which is dangerous, by the way. 15-year-olds on the road driving, scary, especially in Lubbock, right? But you have those visions of what life is going to be like. When I was 15 years of age, if you would have walked into my bedroom, you would have seen the walls plastered with posters of cars. I loved cars as a teenager. I still love cars. I love primarily the exotic cars. So I would have had all kinds of different models and different cars in my room. They would have been everywhere. In fact, I was researching how I could get on to work for BMW. I wanted to be in industrial design. I wanted to design these cars, and I wanted to design the body styles, and I was just headlong into it. Maybe you know where you were at 15 years of age and what you wanted to be. My wife, Miss Stephanie, she wanted to be a news anchor. I don't know who would want to do that job, but she likes that kind of thing. She would practice, she would make videos, and she would send them around. That was when she was a teenager. She wanted to be a news anchor. And I asked Brother Colin what he wanted to be, and he said a firefighter, army man, police officer, and a cowboy. I think all at once, somehow. I'm not sure. And here at Bethany Baptist Church, he's probably got to do a lot of those different types of work. Kids Crusade, primarily police officer right now. It's natural to think about what the future holds and what your life is going to be like, what you're going to do with your life. Maybe you wanted to be a teacher, a doctor, a coach, an engineer, whatever the case is. When we were teenagers, we had a view. We had hopes and dreams of what the future was going to look like. But with all our hopes and dreams, I'm sure that none of us, if we were given a list of things when we were 15 years of age to write down on this piece of paper, what do you want to be when you grow up, or what do you want your life to be like when you grow up, I'm sure none of us would have wrote down prisoner of war or captive. We wouldn't have wrote those things down. Daniel probably would have never wrote those things down. But this is where he's found himself in life. From the age of a teenager, taken away from his homeland and put into a foreign land, and his entire life changed. Sometimes life doesn't turn out exactly like you planned. Sometimes things change, circumstances arise that we don't anticipate. But I see something in Daniel at the end of this passage of Scripture that will help us all. And that is this: events will come that are out of your control. And some of those events are gut-wrenching. Some of them are scary. And some of them are very unexpected. But choose to trust the Lord like Daniel did, who took his place in the will of God, doing the work that God had given him in the place that God had put him. Doing the work that God had given him in the place that God had put him. It seems so simple, right? It seems so simple that we would just say, God, this is not my life. I've been bought with a price. You've purchased me on the cross of Calvary. Now I give my life to you. God, I want your will to be done in my life. But so often it's hard to let go of all those hopes and dreams. And I'm not saying today, maybe you're out there and you're thinking, are you telling me, Brother David, that I just have to let go of all my hopes and dreams? Not at all. That's not what I'm saying. But we shouldn't hold all those hopes and dreams higher than the will of God for our lives. The will of God for your life matters far more than any vision of life that you have for yourself. He can accomplish more in your life than you will ever accomplish on your own. So let's look at our passage. And I'm going to be straight up with you this morning. We're going to get into a little, I'm not going to get super deep into it, but it is prophecy. So there's a lot here. So I want you to put your thinking cap on. And Colin, that's not a tinfoil hat, but just your thinking cap, okay? And let's think this morning about what's going on in this passage of Scripture. Verse 1 tells us that this dream came to Daniel in the third year of Belshazzar. So let's go back to that date, 550 BC. That's where we would be. It's significant. It doesn't look like this really means anything when you just think about the year 550 BC, but let me explain. From my study, it's evident that in the year 550 BC, when Daniel received this dream, this vision, what was happening in the world at that time? Well, Cyrus the Persian, he refused to submit to the Medes. The Medes were kind of the reigning kingdom at that time, and many people around them had to submit to their authority. And the Persians, King Cyrus, refused to submit to the Medes. who had that control, and the king of Media, or the king of the Medes, immediately attacked Persia. So you've got this kingdom, the Medes, they're saying, hey, if they're not willing to submit, then we're going to send all of our armies over to them, and we're going to make them, and we're going to force them to submit to us. So that's what they did. The king of the Medes came against the king of Persia, and things did not turn out exactly like they had hoped. Cyrus, the king of the Persian, got a victory on that day. And he was victorious at the Battle of Pasargadae. And they moved on to capture the Median capital. So now you have a victory for Cyrus, and these feuding nations, they were larger nations, the Medes and the Persians, who were kind of at odds against each other. Now King Cyrus has power and control over both. And so now they're this united kingdom that we hear in scriptures so much. This is the Medes and the Persians now. They're united as one leader under King Cyrus. So Daniel receives this vision in 550 BC when all of these things are taking place. And God is always on time, amen? God is right there. Babylon, where we've been reading about, this was the country that came and stole Daniel out of his country and took him. You remember Nebuchadnezzar. Belshazzar is there leading under Nabonidus. And so Babylon, as an empire now, is failing. It's shrinking. And now this giant empire of the Medes and the Persians are springing up. So with that historical background, what did Daniel see in this vision? I'm not going to get into all the details about this. We could be here a very long time. But just to draw a picture for you, it has to do with a couple of different animals, a ram and a goat. A ram and a goat. So the ram shows up on the scenes, and it has these two horns. And remember, this is happening all at the same time. And God has given Daniel this prophecy about this ram that's coming. And so, if you read through this passage, we'll not read it, but it talks about these two horns that arise. And it says that one is taller than the other. And if we go down to verse number 20, we're going to find out that this ram, it says, the ram which thou sawest having two horns are the kings of Media and Persia. And when we look at what actually happened in history, we see that the one was greater than the other. And we see that it was fulfilled just as God said that it would happen in verse number 20. So then it says in verse number 4 that he pushed west and north and south. And then we have a goat that comes on the scene. And the goat comes from the west. In verse number 21, we'll see that this is the rough goat, and it says that it is the king of Grecia, or Greece is what we would know it as. And the great horn that is between his eyes is the first king. Okay, so there's obviously this Grecian empire, and there's this great horn. The horn typically would represent the king or the leader of this nation. So the Bible describes this leader that comes on the scene. And it says that this leader that comes on the scene is going to move swiftly. It uses the term touched not the ground. It's like it was just flying. It was just sailing along, and it seemed like it didn't even touch the ground. And it takes over the whole earth, the whole civilized world at that time. And it says that it was a notable horn, like we had mentioned. So just as quickly, though, as this king shows up on the scene, it says the horn is broken off. We understand now, we're looking into the future, and this would have been 200 years in the future from when Daniel actually wrote this prophecy. 200 years in the future, we know now from history, and we can read the accounts, that this horn, this leader, was none other than Alexander the Great. Of the Grecian Empire. He conquered the civilized world. He started ruling when he was 20 years old, and he had conquered the known civilized world by the age of 30. Can you imagine? in 10 years, really conquering most of the known world. He moved in swiftly, and he was able to take over the entire known world in that region at that time. What an incredible a kingdom that's coming on the scene. No kingdom and no federation of kings could stand against the Grecian Empire ruled by Alexander the Great. But he died at the age of 32. At the age of 32, Alexander the Great passes off the scene quickly. So after that, the Bible says that there's four kingdoms that stand up in his place. And I believe that would be the four divisions of the Greek Empire after Alexander the Great. But then it describes one of these, there's a little horn that shows up in verse number 9, and we won't read the passage, but verse number 9, this little horn pops up. And this man, this leader of this section of the Grecian Empire would have been a man by the name of Antiochus Epiphanes, we get the word epiphany, or he called himself the illustrious one. He often referred to himself and had others referred to him as a god. He wanted and desired that title for himself. So he was Antiochus the Fourth. This man, although not the future Antichrist, he was certainly a foreshadowing of the Antichrist that's to come in the tribulation period. This man was a wicked man. He was a very sadistic man. He's one of the most wicked men that tried to go against God's people. This man tried to make the Jewish people adopt the Hellenistic or Greek culture. He would penalize them, even kill them, for trying to practice the law of God that God had given them. He went so far as to take away the daily sacrifices from the temple of God, which grieved Daniel, and you can see that all over this passage. It's calculated that this man, Antiochus the Fourth, put to death in Jerusalem 80,000 men, women, and children. Not only that, he didn't stop there. He went and took a statue of Zeus. And he went into the temple of God and he set a statue of Zeus up in the temple of God. He offered a swine, a sow, upon the altar of the temple of God, which would have been an unclean animal, which would have just been just a slap in the face to God and to God's people and everybody that's there. It sounds familiar, huh? Because that's a foreshadowing of what's going to happen during the tribulation period. Antiochus did great damage to the people of God. There was certainly a lot of darkness in this dream. You know, you lay asleep at night or you start to have a dream. This is not what you want to see. Think about Daniel. He's 70 years old. He's been in captivity, and although God has set him up in leadership and rulership positions, he certainly wants to see God's people succeed and wants to see the Jewish people be able to go back to their land and to establish themselves and to do what's right and all those things. And he keeps seeing time after time that they're being taken from their land and they're going to be ruled by this leader, and now they're going to be ruled by this leader, but not only ruled by them, but killed by them. And then the most important things, the temple of God, are going to be defiled and abused. And Daniel's hearing all these things and it's affecting him. This was not good news. There was a lot of darkness. But there was a little bit of good news at the end. In verse number 25, God's going to take care of this man. It says, but he shall be broken without hand. Antiochus, according to history, died unexpectedly of an illness. And people have speculated what that illness is, but I believe that God struck this man down, this evil man down. God's people would eventually reclaim the temple and cleanse it, as the Bible foretells. So let's go back to Daniel now. Look at verse number 17. It says, so he came near where I stood And when he came, I was afraid and fell upon my face. Now go down to verse number 27. And I, Daniel, fainted and was sick certain days. Daniel was grieved. Although there was hope at the end here, Daniel was grieved at what he was seeing. What did he see? He saw a lot more suffering for the people of God. He saw the Jews being ruled by these evil people in the future. They were now going to be the under the authority of these kings in the foreseeable future, and many of their people would be killed, and their temple, along with all the sacrifices, would be taken away. But then he gets up. We see in verse number 27, and he starts serving this king, Belshazzar, who he's under. And I pause because this verse, maybe all around the book of Daniel, he's 70 years of age and he's been under these evil kings this entire time, and he's just been trying to follow the will of God for his life. And we get to verse number 27 and he fainted and he was sick. Why was he sick? Because of what he saw was going to happen to the people of God in the future. I got to thinking about, man, we can look around at this world. We look around at churches. We look around what is happening. And it just kind of makes you sick, doesn't it? You start seeing how God's houses are being treated around the country in different places. You see the disrespect for the things of God. You see the things being that were once esteemed and lifted up. You see them being torn down. And the things that are vile and the things that are wretched are the things that are being praised and lifted up in our society. And it grieves your soul. And you can't help but inside yourself just feel sick because we know what it should be like. It grieves you. And you know what? Oftentimes we can walk around and we can be angry and we can be upset and we can look around at all the things that are going on, and it really can paralyze you from doing what God has for you. But I want us to notice in verse number 27, and it says, I was sick certain days, but listen to this. Afterward, I rose up and did the king's business. Daniel did something that, after seeing something like this, many of us in this room would have said, what's the use? What's the use? Why should we continue doing these things, God? If you're going to put us through this king and this king, what's your purpose, God? Why are you doing this to your people? But he didn't do that. He was grieved. He was sick. But then he rose up and he did the king's business. Has life thrown you a curveball? Maybe a couple of them. Maybe he's thrown you a lot of them. Something you didn't see coming. You ever have everything planned out and life is on track and then it takes a detour from your hopes and your dreams? You've got hopes, and you remember when you were a teenager, and when I said that, it popped right to mind about what you wanted life to be like. And you've had curveball after curveball, and it didn't quite turn out the way that you thought it would. Things are different. It happens. It seems that you'll never realize those hopes and dreams. Life has a way of bringing you to your knees at times. There are not many days that go by recently that somebody in this congregation has sent me an article. Somebody in this church or my family has sent me an article about something that's crazy happening in our world. The signs of the times, they are everywhere, my friends. They are everywhere. Crazy things happening in the world. The financial markets, Russia, China, Iran, the things happening in Europe, on and on the list could go. There are so many things happening in our world right now. But even on a local level, there are personal things happening in the lives of the people that are here today. It may be that some of you are having surgery this week and you're nervous and you're praying for a good outcome. Some of you are about to start school soon. whether it's grade school or you're going into college and you're nervous about the future and you're unsure what's going to happen. Some have relationships that you just don't know if they'll ever be mended. Some of you have lost loved ones. And I can tell you from experience that that shortness of breath and the pain that's inside of you, it just never goes away when you think about that person that you've lost. Some have a wayward child. Some are worrying about their financial future or their job or what's happening in the economy. Some are just nervous or even sad about the changes that are coming, even changes in our own church. I'm sure Daniel could relate to you. There were lots of changes in his life. There's no doubt events will come that are out of your control. Some of them are gut-wrenching. Some of them are scary, and some of them are unexpected. But choose to trust the Lord like Daniel, who took his place in the will of God, doing the work that God had given him in the place that God had put him. So many times, and especially because we have so much social media, we get to looking at everybody else's life, and we get to looking around at, well, why do they get to do that? Why can't I do that? Why are they being sent over there to England? And we begin to think, well, maybe I should do that. And we become discontent serving in a Sunday school class or maybe even serving on a bus because I want to do something over there and I want to do something over there. And this church across town has this ministry and I think that's just a better spot for me. Maybe I should have this other job. And it's not leading of the Lord that's taking you to that place. It's simply discontent in your heart. And you know that God brought you to the place you're at and serving in the place you're at, but there's just something inside of you, I want something else. There's something to be said about somebody that's been serving in bus ministry for 25 years. God called them to a place, they began serving in a place, and they just followed the will of God for their life in the place that God had put them. I look forward to the day where the Hendricks family comes back to this church after being on the mission field for 20 years and give us a report. How awesome would that be? They're going to go. They're going to serve where God's called them to go. What has God called you to? Is it difficult? Is it not what you expected? Does it seem mundane? Are you serving in a job and your boss is wicked? Are they more wicked than Belshazzar was? Daniel just went and he served. All this stuff is happening around him. He got bad news. What's going to happen to the children of God in the future? And it grieved him. But he just set those things aside. And he decided, there's a work that God's called me to do. Daniel, every single person that he served under, he was a blessing to. He was a blessing to them. And he gave them the truth. And he had favor with people. God's called you to the place you're at, to the people that you're around. He wants you to serve in the place that you are and to not just go and to just hang your head all the time and say, this world is wicked, this world is difficult, this world is challenging, and I just got to make it through until we get to heaven someday and not accomplish anything for the Lord. You shouldn't go to work and have a sour look on your face all day long. You are a child of God. You have a home in heaven. Go to that place. Lead somebody to Christ. Show them what God did in your heart. That's what God's placed. He's placed you there for a purpose. He's given you the gospel message, the good news message. And although there's crazy things happening all around us and the signs of the times are all around us, and we can walk around with our head just hanging low and thinking, oh no, this thing's happening. Oh no, this thing's happening. You know, one of the things I love about Brother Sean Walton is he'll tell me something that's happening in our world, and then he'll smile and he'll say, this is what's happening. Almost like he's anticipating the Lord coming back. And he's like, you know what? He called me this week. He's like, you know what, Brother Dave? I need some more tracks. I need some more tracks. He gave out all the ones that we had in that entire closet over there. And now he needs some more that I've got on order for him. You know what? We need some more Sean Waltons. We need some more Daniels. Paul said in Philippians 4, not that I speak in respect of want, I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. By the way, that was my life verse when I lived in Oklahoma, whatever state I'm in, to be content. It was a difficult journey. And then he says this, I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound everywhere and in all things. I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. And we get this verse so mixed up so many times where we want to interpret that to say, whatever I want to do, I can do. Whatever God puts in front of you, as the will of God, he will see you through it. That's what it's talking about. He'll be with you. You know what I saw this week at Kids Crusade? I saw some people that had every excuse in the world not to be here this week, but they just wanted to serve the Lord, and they were here every single night. I saw some people that have means to travel the world and to live in luxury. And you know what I saw this week? They were here every single night serving. I saw some people that have some struggles and have health issues, but they were still getting on a bus and making sure every child made it here to hear the gospel. I saw some that have really busy careers. Really busy careers. And they took vacation days just to be here serving the Lord this week. Why? Why would they do that? Because God is worthy. That's a good amen spot right there. God is worthy. Amen. Lives are hanging in the balance because there's a work to do that's greater than our struggles. Because kids need the Lord. Because parents and grandparents need the Lord. And because time is limited. You may think, well, all I did this week was clean. All I did was restrain children this week, whatever the case is. I'm telling you, there's fruit that abounds to your account because of the work that was done. We may look at a number like 51, and tomorrow we may forget about it. But I'm telling you, God did an amazing work this week. Sometimes we get so fixated on the news and on injustices around the world that we forget that God, listen, God will right every wrong. He is going to take care of every injustice. He is going to handle that. He is the judge. He is going to make sure that whatever the case is and whoever's out there orchestrating all of the things that are happening in this world that are against God and against the people of God, he is going to right every single wrong. That's not something that you and I have to worry about. Our job is to get into our place where God has put us and to serve the Lord faithfully. That's where he wants us. Although we're grieved at what we see coming, God has called you to a specific work in a specific place. And he has brought you to Bethany Baptist Church, a place to serve He has given you opportunity after opportunity to serve. And Luke 22, 39 says, and he came out and went out and went, and he was wont to the Mount of Olives. And his disciples also followed him. And when he was sat in a place, he said unto them, pray that ye enter not into temptation. And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast and kneeled down and prayed, saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. And then this is the line right here. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. It'd be good for all of us to kneel at this altar, there in your seat, or say a quiet word of prayer that just simply says, God, I have been chasing my own will. And I've been hating everything that's difficult that's been thrown in my life. But today, I'm giving it to you, and I'm going to trust you. Not my will, but thine be done.